So good evening, church. Hope we all had a lovely holiday. Though it was like stressful for others and stressful for others and accomplishing for others. But I'm glad that I enjoyed myself in the presence of the Lord. So I was given this topic about courageous Christian living. Then I started juggling around with it, thinking exactly, what's this all about? And yet, to my surprise, I just felt like it was a bomb. And it's something that speaks directly to me, because it wasn't easy to be where I am today. It took courage. And I say, I had to sacrifice a number of things to be where I am today. I'm not just talking about your jobs, being able to get your driver's license, being able to have a transport that will take you from each and every destination that you want to be in. But being a Christian, it was never a safe journey. Being amongst people who are non-believers, being amongst people who are not born again, and being amongst people who are against what you believe. So I came up with something out of this, and it's all about courage. I'll be talking about finishing courageously. Meaning, this Christian walk is a race. And it needs people who will be bold, people who will have to make great sacrifices. If I can ask all of us today, if there was the chance to do so, one by one, ask one question as to how many obstacles did you go through to be where you are today? Then you will find different stories. Some stories involving sacrificing your relationship with your family, sacrificing your relationship with your friends, sacrificing your relationship with the people who mean a lot to you or who meant a lot to you back then. So to finish courageously, as I was saying, it took me years. But I'm still on this journey, and I'm still walking, and I'm still holding my head up high. And it's now that people are seeing this thing that is called Christianity as a reality. Because most people would dare to ask you questions as to say, how could you say you are a Christian, whereas you are a closer-speaking person, and you have what we call in our language a clan name? Because your clan name needs to be followed up with rituals, with all the stuff that is needed so that you can keep up the name going. But I always ask myself, and I ask my people this same question as to, what about God? Because my Bible states clear that the earth is the Lord's and everything that's within it belongs to God. So the goats that you want me to slaughter, the cows that you want me to slaughter, the things that you want me to sacrifice, the bushes that you want me to burn, and the belts that you want me to wear as a coarser person or as a coarser man, they are from God. But will they take me to this race with God? Because the Bible is strict in saying, let us run the race that is set before us. And make sure that we fix our eyes unto the author and the finisher of our faith. So without any further ado, let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me start by reading from verse 6 from the New King James Version. Amen. It reads as follows. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, when I got into the scripture, especially verse 7, when Paul is saying, I have fought a good fight, I picked up quite a number of things, which is one, when we as Christians come to accept, or when we came to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, that was the beginning of our fight. That was the beginning of our hustle. That was the beginning of greater challenges which the enemy laid ahead for us. And even now, as we walk in this walk of faith, we are still facing challenges. It doesn't mean that when you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ, challenges won't come your way. They do come. And it's like you are walking an extra mile, or you are running an extra mileage. But Paul here is encouraging us as the Christian community, telling us that he fought a good fight. And I'm imagining to myself, how can I say I'm fighting a good fight when people are still insulting me about ignoring my norms and culture? How can I still say I'm fighting a good fight when people are still looking at me as the eldest son of the house and not doing the necessities of the house? Which is why I always say boldly, it's God's way or no way at all for my life. Because the only person I saw through each and every struggle of my life was Jesus. And I know for sure, by the time I was accepting Christ back in the years, I knew for sure that now the race is starting. It's like God is saying to me, you are standing on your lane. And in this lane that you are standing, you alone has got to run on this lane. Maybe I'm number 5. Maybe you're number 2. Maybe you're number 1. Maybe you're number 3. But each and everyone is running according to the lane that you are put on. And you could see there by the when the athletes are being ready. Some are shaking their feet, making sure that we are getting ready for this race. And one thing that I noticed is that all the racers, the guys who are preparing themselves for the race, they always not look down, but always are looking at the finishing line, especially the sprinters. And as Christians, I've got a reason to believe that we are also such sprinters. Though our race might look like a marathon, though our race might look like it's getting slower and slower by each time we are on the racetrack. So, I just felt like this is the race. And God, I feel him saying, Tamba, you accepted Christ as your Savior. You accepted my Son as your King and the Lord. Denying all things, which means on your marks. And everybody is in his or her mark. And as we are, we are looking around. There are people who are cheering us up. There are people who are criticizing us. And there are people who are saying this is just a waste of time. And some in this walk of faith, they want to see this instant Christianity. They want to accept Christ today and tomorrow. They want to see things happening for themselves. Which is why they opt to go for the people who are preaching this prosperity gospel. Forgetting that when you are about to prepare yourself for a race, you have to prepare your body. Because you don't know what lies ahead of you. So Paul is saying to Timothy, his son, I have fought a good fight. Mentioning to him, this was my fight. And as I am standing here, denying my cultural norms is my fight. Denying my family is my fight. Excluding myself from the people that I love, it's my fight. And loving God, serving God courageously, it's my fight. And nobody can get into the battlefield for me except for myself. So we as Christians, we must know for sure and we must put it into our minds that when you start preaching the gospel, when you start mentioning the name of Jesus Christ, it's like you are putting your gloves on. And you are saying, devil, bring it on. Because the major challenge out there is people who are talking Christianese out there. And when they are alone, they start saying, hey, I don't see this thing working for me. So we as the church community, we are here to encourage such people as to say, my brother, this is your fight. My sister, this is your fight. Come depression, come hell, come high waters, this is your fight and you have to fight it. Nobody else is going to fight it for you. But the one thing that I like about Paul, he's giving this advice and he's giving this testimony to his son Timothy, whom he knows he will face his own challenges. You know, I remember a time back in 1995. We were busy studying. I was doing Standard 9 then. Now, we were busy studying at school and we were doing an overnight study. Now, finishing that, we went home. I went home. On my arrival at home, I took off my clothes, trying to get some sleep. Now, I remember I slept with these white rugby shorts. And I went on to sleep. Now, as I was sleeping, I felt like, hey, I must wake up to go and ease myself and pee. Just at the corner. Now, when I turned around, everything became black right in front of my face. I fell down. And my mother, being the believer who's believing in herbs, she sent for someone next door to come and do all this herbal stuff on me. Then I could smell something was not right. I woke up, and I woke up in bed. Then I said to my mom, I remember I was on my way to pee. Now, what happened? What took place here? You know, my mother didn't even encourage me. She told me straight, it's high time. You choose your Jesus or you choose our way of doing things in this house. I could feel that she's giving me an ultimatum now. And I have to make a quick choice, but a choice that I will carry for the rest of my life. Then I stood up. I said, Ma, I still choose Jesus. In spite of what has happened to me, I choose Jesus. That's the choice I'm willing to make. And that's the choice I'm willing to die for. Being a young man, 17 year old, choose Jesus. Which means those were the other narratives of my fight. And as I'm standing here right now, I'm here to encourage the church, especially the youth. Out there, things are not as good as we see them. Young people, especially in my area, Missionville, are involved in quite a number of things. But all I'm still saying is that this needs nothing else but God's intervention. To pull away a young man from drugs, it takes no rehab center, but Jesus. I remember we had a 3-month prayer of about revival. And I said to myself, God, it's high time. We don't only pray about revival, but we do revival. There are people out there who are not even courageous. There are people out there who cannot even fight for themselves. They are living dead. They are walking dead. But I'm speaking today and telling to myself that I want to finish courageously. What about them? What about that son who's giving problems to his mother? What about that daughter who's giving problems to her mother? What about that father who's giving problems to his wife? What about that community that accepts criminal acts, buying stolen goods? They do not know that they are in a fight. They do not know that God's intervention is needed. And they don't have that courage to fight this fight. So we as the church, we need to get out there. I need to get out there and tell the people of my community that it's high time we focus on Jesus and nobody else. So as I'm standing here, I'm still saying, on your marks. Church, on your marks. I might isolate myself, but God will always remind me, on your marks. I might run away from my problems, but God will always remind me, Temba, on your marks. And when God says, get set, it's whereby you will always quote the scripture and says, our weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And you will quote such scriptures and say, no, this fight that we are fighting, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against the principalities of darkness. Because that's what we are doing. I was chatting with some other guys, I think 2 days past. We were preaching at this funeral of a young man who was born in the 15th of April, 1999. Now, this young man happened to be beaten to death by this thing called mob justice. And yet he died. Now, yesterday was his funeral. And the people were so packed. And all they wanted to hear was to what happened to this boy. But unfortunately, it was not spoken of. The word of God was preached. And I remember one lady standing up, asking for forgiveness, saying, I'm part of this. I was part of the people who were insulting this boy. I was part of the people who was hurt by this boy. But I stand here stretching out my arms, asking these people to forgive me and to forgive him. We need such people in our lives, and we need such people in our communities in order for us to finish our race courageously. And Paul goes on to say, hallelujah, I have finished the race. Because he's mentioning it to Paul, to Timothy, that his days on this earth are done. He's done the preaching in many churches. And what's so amazing about this old man's life is that by the time he was turning away from his wicked ways, he was sent back to preach to those people that he hurt, to those that he persecuted. And who of us today can do the same? Only the courageous. Preaching to so many churches, making sure They see him for who he is, not for who he was. So he says, I have finished the race. Which means, as I've said, each and every one of us here, prepare yourself. For this race that we are running is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for certain color or for certain people of a certain belief. It's your race. And each one has to make sure that you're standing on your track line. You don't need me to tell you how to stand. You don't need to tell me to tell you how to do things. And you don't need me to tell you how to prepare for your race. But we need God to tell us how to prepare for this race. Because the challenges that the world is facing today, I take it as a race. But who are the people that are chosen to run this race with the world? Us, Christians. So are you prepared? Are you ready to run your race? Are you prepared to go through up until the finishing line? And this means you'll have to sacrifice a number of things in order to get to the finishing line. And at this point in time, it's not about being first or being second or being third, but it's all about finishing. Are you willing to finish this race courageously? Or are you willing to finish this race looking at the finishing line? Because some people have the nerve to tell you about how to run the race, but they won't run the race. Just now, I heard about the guy who was good at encouraging men not to abuse women. But the enemy got to him with depression. He's an actor. Maybe you might know Isaac, his name is Patrick Chai. He committed suicide just 2 days past, if I'm not mistaken. He hanged himself in his garage. He couldn't face life. He couldn't face his race. He couldn't finish his race. And he was still on his race. He was doing well for his life. But something triggered. The enemy came. And then he had to end his life. But I'm here to say, are you willing to keep yourself on your tracking line and run your race? Maybe you are holding your baton. You're the one who's studying and you know who's the anchor. But allow me to tell you today, as you hold your baton, know one thing: the Holy Spirit is the anchor and he's the one who's going to cross over the finishing line. And he's the one who's going to advise you on how to do things on the track and field. The Holy Spirit is there to advise the children of God on how to do things. And he lastly says, I have kept the faith. Which means when you cross the finishing line, the only thing that the judges want to see before they write your name on board is to make it a point that you're still holding on to your baton. And if you're not holding on to your baton, there on the board it will be written, disqualified. I don't know how many false starts are leading to a disqualification, but I know one mistake or two or three, maybe four wrong mistakes on the track and field, you are disqualified. But all I want to ask today, do you want to be disqualified as a Christian or do you want to finish your race? Maybe some of us here have faced many challenges For instance, let me say this, bankruptcy. You could see that your account hasn't got finances anymore. Does that cause you to not to finish your race? Maybe you've sinned, maybe your things have been taken away, repossessed. But does that mean you will have to excuse yourself from the race? Because the Bible states it clear that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Even the things that we possess, when I die, that dust and gold dust of mine will be left behind. Maybe it will be driven by somebody else that I don't know, or maybe I know. But my focus should be finish the race. Finish your race. It's not my race alone, but your race also. And some of us here, I might state it this clear, that some of us have faced challenges. Their families have been attacked by COVID. And I know some of us, there was a time when they said, "Why me, Lord?" But I'm here to say, it was for a good cause. Because it was strengthening your faith. Look at yourself. You're still standing still on your 2 feet. Which means you are still saying, "I'll run this race." Today is the day. Tonight is the night. Tell yourself, "I'll hold on to my baton and I will finish this race. In spite of the challenges, in spite of all that's happening around me, but I'll finish this race." And to cut that story short again, I failed my standard 9 in 1995. I was still on the race. Then I asked myself, am I still going to continue with my studies or not? Am I still going to focus on what happened to me and stop high school studies? Then I said, no, there's no way. There's no way. I'm going to continue. I got in there. And as I got in there, started my studies. And I could see they were being busy with nominations, electing prefects, electing head boys, electing all the people who were of qualification to lead the school students. And one certain guy said, "I nominate that guy." I was looking around, "Who's this guy?" Then he said, no, don't look around. I'm pointing at you. Then I said, "Why me?" I asked him. "Can you elaborate? Can you explain to the class? And can you explain to the students why me?" Then he said, "Because in you, there's a leader. And you can lead this school. You can lead these peoples." 95, head boy. 96, chaplain. 96, as I was sitting around. 97, again, the leader. Then I was wondering to myself, what is this about me that these people are really seeing? Then my biology teacher told me, "You are a born leader. And the whole school depends on your leadership." And the school in that year, 1997, was closed for a certain period of time because the students started striking. And they would close the gates, chasing the teachers away. Because they were not satisfied about things that we don't know as students. So that's where God showed me that you are a leader. I went through all the people that I meant to go through, up until to the Department of Education, to tell them, guys, enough is enough. Nzondelelo High School will never be closed while there are still students. Go and open up the school. We will continue with our studies. We will safeguard our schools because we are elected to lead these students into their future. The school was open. Because we know one thing, we are in the race. So to tell you the truth, if you give up on the racetrack because you are facing hamstrings, twisting ankles, or whatsoever, continue limping. If it means you will limp up until the finishing line, God is there to support you. Because he is the Father. He will support you. He will guide you to the finishing line. Don't give up now. I remember a song that always says, I don't feel tired, no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. If I had given up in 1995, would I be standing here today preaching to you about finishing courageously? No. But because I trusted God to finish my race, and I'm still trusting him to give me the tools to finish my course. So I'm encouraging everybody who's sitting here listening to my voice, watching me via what you call Facebook. Finish your race. And fear nobody who will discourage you. There's always people who will discourage you when you're doing good. There's always people who will discourage you when you're doing bad. But finish your course. It's better to finish than to give up. Because you give up, people will call your names. It's better to finish. Finish your race. Though it might not be easy. Remember this young lady or this old lady was singing? She says, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Seriously, it's not easy. Being a Christian, it's not easy. But you have to finish your race. You have to. You have to. And you must finish your race. These are the times we are called as the Christian community to say, this is what God has called us to do. And this is what God has assigned for us. And I can clearly declare this. I am assigned to preach the kingdom of God. I am assigned to preach the Jesus culture. Not my culture, not everybody's culture, but Jesus' culture. It's not easy, but it's doable. As I was driving this morning to church, this song struck me. But I won't sing it, I'll just give you the words. It's saying, I'm like a soldier in the army, and I am set for war. And it goes on to say, I am the winner through Christ, my Lord. As I'm sitting down, God is saying, get set. And God is beginning to say again, ready. And God is saying now, go. And remember, this is your race. But are you a soldier? Or are you a quitter? Are you going to throw your baton away and give up on this race? For my side, in all the obstacles of sin in my life, if I could get back and say no, I give up on this God. I'm telling you, the Bible, the devil will make all sorts of meals with my life. I'll be the breakfast of the devil. I'll be the lunch of the devil. And I'll be the supper of the devil if I choose not to finish the race. So standing here, I hereby challenge you today. Are you willing to finish this race courageously? Or are you willing to finish this race a coward? And if you say, I need to pray harder, pray harder, pray the more. You just don't give up now. Never give up. Never give up. Keep the faith. Because Paul goes on to say, awaiting for me is the crown of righteousness. And are you ready for that crown? Are you ready to receive it? Maybe you've tried some things once, twice, and now you're trying it for the third time just to test if this thing will work again. I'm telling you, don't try. Do it. Because God will always be on your side. Thanks for listening to me. And I pray that may God bless you and keep you as you run this race. Finish it courageously. God bless you. Amen.